Blog Talk Radio.
Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenk, and I am the host of this show. My guest this evening is Erin Mangel, co-creator of www.loveillusion.com. Loveillusion is a site where blogs are syndicated from like-minded, love-centered souls. Erin will tell us what else he's been up to lately. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Erin Mangel. Hello, dear Erin.
How are you, Kate? Thanks for having me.
I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
What you been up
How's
to
everything
lately?
Been going with the show?
Good. It's been good. It's
awesome.
It keeps gaining legs, you know. Patience is the answer there. I just enjoy doing it. It keeps my mind active and everybody enjoys coming on and oh, my gosh, we talk about all kinds of different things.
Great. That's great. Yeah,
of course,
no, it's huge.
Yeah. Of course, my
so
favorite topic
there, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite topic is always love and how we can bring that into the world wherever we are in different ways and different styles and different personalities.
Yeah.
And so I was looking over the site, Loveillusion, and I noticed you guys are working on a game, the Loveillusion game.
Yeah. So
tell us about that. That sounds so cool.
Okay. Well, essentially, we haven't done a whole lot with it, you know, recently, but initially the idea there was to create a... You know, games are fun. You know, everyone loves to play a good game, you know, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Angry Birds, the game on the smartphone.
No, I have. That sounds cool, though.
People go crazy with that stuff. You know, like, you'll see people just sitting there playing it for, like, hours, practically. One of my roommates plays it, like, quite a bit. Anyway, the point is that I think games, the interface of the game is really easy to participate in. So the idea behind the Love Game is to create activities that would create scoring, you know what I mean? So essentially create, you know, a scoring system, if you will. And the idea would be, at least, I guess, and keep in mind, this is a completely rough draft, completely open to ideas, suggestions, and anything like that. But basically, you know, it was to generate more love for yourself, for others, like the community, you know, your work, your family, your friends, all that good stuff. And also, you know, stretch yourself a little bit, you know, because a lot of the time we keep love, you know, inside or, you know, just kind of like at a safe, you know, we don't expand it or share it like far and wide a lot of the time. And sometimes it's because, you know, we're shy and we kind of keep it where, you know, close to us. And what I mean is like, you know, well, see, I've kind of been in my own world a little bit lately, you know, working on, you know, some work stuff that we'll talk about a little later. But, you know, so I haven't really been able to talk to a larger group. You know, I don't know. It was just kind of where I was at, you know. But But so the idea with the Love Game is to kind of, you know, make it a part of your daily routine, or not necessarily routine, but, you know, activities. You know, it's supposed to be fun and it's supposed to generate community. So, you know, really it's still in development. You know, I haven't had, you know, I don't know. I'm a big believer in things coming together when they're supposed to. It hasn't seemed like the right pieces are aligning in terms of that we need some development work done on it. But, you know, I think when I'm a little more, like, in that zone, I think I'm going to get some developers involved and continue that. And I actually have some pretty cool situations developing with a new work relationship that I'm working on that I think might be the right thing. But, you know, with things being kind of piled high on the plate right now, I think there needs to be some time that goes by. But I think you bringing it up says to me that it needs to be picked up soon, kind of like a foreshadowing, you know, because it's been incubating,
well, yeah.
But, you know.
Well, there's always...
Sorry.
I mean, I'm not a real game person, but when I saw that, I thought I would definitely be interested in sharing that around. That it just is what right now we have this need to just be the love we want to see in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
as
a takeoff on a Gandhi quote, and I just really believe that we have to. It's our responsibility for those of us who are so called, of course.
Sure. Okay, check this out. I just actually pulled up the Love Game document that I had written. So basically,
yeah.
I'm going to read you some parts of it, just so you can get an idea
Thanks.
Of what we would envision. So the Love Game is an imagined, self-sustaining, active learning, collective experience and conversation of community, inspiration, and adventure. The intention behind the Love Game is to authentically share ourselves with the world, outwardly express love, and actively have fun while improving the world we live in. And so the idea is that, so all your actions toward the game must come from a place of love. The game is analogous to our individual lives contained in a divine structure by the universe. And I guess this is just my, like, rough draft here. But anyway, the Love Game allows us to create our own conscious life adventure and a framework that builds community, self-love, and intelligence while exponentially activating our untapped powers through play. So
I love play. Is it our inner child? How does that sound?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's all about. In fact, mine is actually never died, really. That's why sometimes I've, in certain situations, like, to some degree, there's sort of, like, disconnect because it almost feels like people are sort of, like, you know, in a different mode, and I'm, like, still kind of being playful, and you can kind of notice, like, people get kind of serious, like, what? But let's see here. So how to play is, so, I don't know, we had an idea with, like, earning experience points, from doing different activities. And we had actually created if you click on a Love Game, I think there's a, oh, you know what? I don't know. We might have just done a pilot, but we were testing out sort of a beta version, which was a really simple format. And basically what you do is, like, you have a list. We call them Love Works to choose from. And basically each time you do one of the Love Works, you click I've done this button to claim your points. And we also came up with the concept of Love Gold, which could maybe have, like, some kind of currency where you could use your love dollars or love gold in a store to get discounts on, like, products and coupons, transformational products, free stuff, whatever. So, you know, again, the content we have on there is from what we created like a couple years ago, but this game could maybe redirect our energy, you know, as a group. okay, so let me tell you about some of the points, like conversational points. Like, they're awarded for successfully completing crucial, difficult, or otherwise important conversations. We were just kind of, like, highlighting how conversations are, like, so important. You know, they can bring people together, like, build a relationship, like a marriage. They can build big businesses. They can unite countries. They can eradicate injustice. So it's, like, the conversation points is basically designed to cause us to take the time to reach out and, you know, talk to somebody and have a conversation. Like, we have some examples of activities where you can get conversational points. Begin a conversation with a stranger, reconnect with a friend, apologize for something wrong, reach out to someone in need, new business, career contact, explain your philosophy on a subject to someone. And then we came up with the idea of amplifiers, amplified points for an opposing viewpoint to that person. And, like, let's say you really keep your cool and you explain an opposing viewpoint and they disagree. Like, we want to kind of create scoring around, you know, doing a good job, like being taking that higher road. Like, you feel really angry, you really almost want to just, like, beat someone up, and you're like, no, I'm gonna, you know, make this choice, like stuff like that. It's kind of a choice. It's like we're turning a game into, like, major philosophical decisions, and it's not necessarily something to play around with, but in a way it is, because a lot of the time people get really serious with, you know, philosophy and, like, what they believe. So this kind of, like, allows us to laugh a little bit and approach it more lightly, and I think that makes it more, we absorb more from it.
Well, don't you think it reminds me of a way to practice, in this case, communication with people in a heart-centered way, so that You're not looking at them, anybody, no matter who they are, in an adversarial way.
Right.
Because we're all connected, no matter who you know they are, they, quote, they, because everybody is really one, and that is what the game can help us to, you know, as we practice the different the different parts of the game, we are actually strengthening different parts of ourselves so that we are more loving and more giving. And if it's a game, actually, if we're secretly playing this game to become better people, I just think it's a great concept.
I mean, thank you. I appreciate it. And to some degree, I feel like I'm kind of just putting a light sort of platform around what's already there. I think when we do good things, you know, there's sort of like the universe has something in place, you know, and I'm kind of putting out my own version of what could be, you know, some kind of scoring system. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know. It's just a different way to look at it. And another thought was learning points, right? So
yeah.
Learning is a big part of the love game, at least in this initial vision.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought of coming up with some love courses for, basically from fellow love gamers as well as outside experts. So let's see. So the love game doesn't reward viewing the data as much as sharing your thoughts, ideas, insights, and feedback after viewing the data. This means the ideal is to focus on what we do with the data once we've seen it. You know, so think of areas you're actively working towards mastering, what skills and knowledge you love to cultivate. You know, reading, listen to an audio, watch a lecture, purchase books, get books from the library. See, the goal there is to, like, we all want to learn and get smarter and better understand things, you know? So it's like, well, let's, you know, amplify that. Yeah, and to be honest, if anyone needs all these, it's me. Jeez, like, I have all the stuff I want to do, but it's like I don't feel motivated on my own accord. So it's like I have to create all these different things to get me motivated, you know?
Well, I was thinking another part of the game could be, you know, how the established worldview of people, dog-eat-dog world, where people feel that they have to, well, in this day and age, we have at least 6 or 7 wars going on in the world. That's just a case in point. And so the established worldview, say, of the murderer, you know, of bin Laden, as an example, people were celebrating in the streets. Well, is this really a loving act? You know, so in other words, that would be the established worldview, is to celebrate the death of a so-called enemy. Well, so, but the alternate view of such a scenario would be to pray for the hate in the world.
Yeah, pray for an adversary, pray for an enemy, pray for someone you don't support, don't agree with, don't like, maybe even, you know?
Yeah, and so I look at this this whole scenario. Now, America likes to call itself a Christian nation, and that's all well and good, but if people are choosing to live in the Old Testament as opposed to the New Testament, which where Jesus is the gospel, teaches the gospel of love, which is what we're talking about here tonight. And I'm not a heavy duty Christian. I believe in all world religions. But if we're going to claim to be a Christian nation, and we're going to be, you know, having an attitude of an eye and a tooth for a tooth, then I think we need to rethink. So a game like this helps you to see an established worldview, which is based on a lot of knee-jerking kind of resentful, hateful kind of ways of acting, and then reframing it into a situation where we are using love to be the way we are in the world. You know what I mean? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I was just listening. I agree, yeah, completely. I mean, basically, I don't know. It's because it's so hard to get through to people sometimes, you know? So I think if you integrate it into an experience that they already want to take on, which is this gaming experience, you know, I think it'd be cool. Now, I think you might particularly enjoy this. I don't know you know, how into other cultures in the world you are. But the culture points section would basically, it would be designed around actively pursuing, learning, and experiencing other cultures.
Wonderful. So, absolutely wonderful.
For example, join a cultural meetup, hang out with a multicultural group, study a language, watch a foreign movie, make foreign foods, dish or drink, practice speaking a foreign language, take a foreigner out, you know, as a, you know, just like sort of a friend or even like a date, if you, you know, teach a foreigner, you know, American slang, or I would even add to that about American culture. And, you know, I feel like people like us are going to be very compassionate and we'll tell people, you know, the truth, you know, we'll tell them the right thing, you know, we'll make sure they know. And, you know, I had done this thing when I was at NC State, North Carolina State University, where it's called the International Friend Program. And there were a couple mm-hmm. guys from India that they kind of hooked me up with, and I kind of hung out with them a couple times, and, you know, we kind of talked. And the idea was just to kind of be a, you know, contact for them, you know, that's in the country that's, you know, American or, you know. So I want to get back into stuff like that because it's really enriching to talk about what else is going on in the world for people that have actually been there. And then to help share what I know, you know, and obviously I've been here, so I'm yearning for, you know, the rest of the world, learning more about that. So, you know, I think I have something to share about America and how it works here, but I also have, you know, a big, great interest in the rest of the world, too. And so I've actually been studying Spanish and Hindi. You know, I don't know if I'm actually part Indian and part Cuban and Costa Rican. So,
oh, wow.
So I've taken Spanish and I've taken Hindi in school, but I kind of want to get back into it because I was hanging out with some relatives this past weekend and, you know, we were just kind of exchanging some few words and phrases, and it's really amazing what happens when you talk to people in their own language. It's mm-hmm. like you activate, like, something else, you know, that English doesn't. And it's really awesome. So it's fun, you know, I think I want to get more into that and just kind of do it, you know, at a leisurely pace. But, again, you know, that's the kind of thing the Love Game would sort of automatically motivate. And if a bunch of people were doing it together, I bet it would be even more fun. So,
yeah, the whole idea of learning other languages is, have you ever heard Andy Weil on that point? He talks about how when you learn another language, especially in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, you don't have to master the language to get this new synopsis working in the brain. It strengthens the brain. It makes it work harder, and it causes prevents dementia and Alzheimer's disease to learn other languages. So it's a practical thing to do that. But like you say, you know, when you speak another, when you at least try to speak the language with somebody who speaks it fluently, they really, really bond with you in a way that you wouldn't have bond with them otherwise. It's so true.
Yeah, I think you're right, definitely.
So that's a part of the game. That's really cool.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the vision, you know. So what I need to do is now have a conversation with developers and programmers who can kind of help us build something more into that, you know. And really, I think both Justin and I have taken some time to pursue some other activities, but you know, talking to you, it sounds like, you know, there's that interest is still out there. So, I mean, I do want to pick it up. So maybe I should try to get to it sooner rather than later and, you know, make an effort to, you know, get those conversations going. So.
Yeah. It's a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful concept, and it bonds people. It brings them together. It makes people communicate.
Yeah, you know, a lot of social networking, you know, it's weird. I mean, I don't know if you're on Facebook. I think you are. Yeah, you are on Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, like, it's funny, you know, I've got, like, over 1,000 friends on Facebook or whatever, but the thing is that it's not very tight-knit relationships with those people, you know, like, maybe they're people in high school that, yeah, I knew we were in high school, but it was more, like, relations because of we were both there at the same time. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the people that I'm encountering that are working on different community-type activities and stuff like that are focusing more on doing stuff, getting out there, meeting people, FaceTime, you know, or, mm-hmm. for example, with this game, the Love Game, you know, it's making love more of a, you know, an activity that you do, you know, on a daily basis. So, you know, again, I think it's how to get those next steps going, you know, but I'm happy with what Lovelution has become. I mean, it's crazy to think that we started with a very simple newsletter, me sending it out to all my Gmail contacts, me sending it out to, like, some meetup groups, And a couple of meetup groups got kind of pissed off because, you know, I was like, hey, Revolution is awesome. Or no, it wasn't Revolution. It's time. Year of Love is awesome. Love. Hey, I love this guy. It's going to be great. Love. And they were like, we love love too, but this is a raw foods meetup. And stop that. And I'm like, ah, sorry. But anyway, regardless, I mean, you know, we sent it out to everyone we knew. We were excited. And guess what? All of a sudden, it, you know, the newsletter grows, the subscriber list grows. You know, Justin spent a lot of time and energy building, you know, an infrastructure around it. And now we have, you know, we may not even, you know, touch it for months, you know, or, and it's just going. People are contributing. Like, I know your blog's on there every day. It's just amazing, you know, that it's going like that, you know, and people are getting something out of it. And I'm able to, like, pursue new things, which are giving me new skill sets that I can re-bring back into the mix and kind of do new things, you know? So it's like, oh, wow, like, what do we do next? So.
Yeah, it's endless, isn't it?
Did you see my self-love article? Because I thanked all the contributors, you know, I know you were one of them, so.
Cool.
Valentine's Day? I think I posted it, but,
I'd
like to get a dialogue going, you know, internally among the Levolution, because we've got, like, so many people, and kind of like the way we're talking now, if we got people talking regularly, I mean, I think, you know, some people do, some people don't, but I kind of want to get to know everyone in the Levolution. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, you know, you things expand, you know, you put something in place, you give people some ideas, you give them a place to share their voice, and then all of a sudden you've got all these people, and I'm like, wow, like, I would love to learn more from these people, because they're all there saying all these things, you know. It's almost like we kind of started out as like, yeah, we have all this information and blah, 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 but now it seems like we've attracted other experts, and now it's almost like I kind of feel more like, more in a student role, you know, and we've kind of put teachers in place for the purposes of us being able to, you know, enjoy, like, all these different love media and love ideas and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that was neat. We have a community here, basically. So.
Well, I noticed that you have a place for a forum. And actually, I feel the same way. I mean, I haven't created the site or anything, but I'm on there every day, and I think to myself, just as we were coming to doing the show, I thought, well, you know, I should spend more time on the site. I should read what everybody else is writing and get more involved and comment, do some commenting on what people are saying. And I feel badly that I haven't done that. So I am now making a pledge to do that.
Yeah, and I'll do
because
that
first of all, I really appreciate that you have syndicated my prayer blog. I think that I need to get on there more and see what's going on.
I mean, yeah, there's all these other people saying stuff, which is why, I mean, it's crazy. Like, they're putting a lot of effort into creating a lot of content, and I think it would be cool, to have sort of an internal Levolution, you know, dialogue going on, because I know it feels like it's been, like, years, you know, since I've talked to some of these people, and some of them I haven't talked to at all, and I really would like to, because I think everyone has a lot of great stuff to say. It's weird. I learn, like, crazy stuff from the craziest people, like, the craziest ways, you know? I mean, it's pretty nuts, so.
Oh, I know. That's really great. I see you have a products page, and you could probably, you guys could make money on this site if you were so inclined.
Well, early on, you know, we had promoted it, promoted those products, and I think some of them do stand strong.
I'm sure they sell,
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like I have new guys to write, you know, and I'd like to maybe, if you would, like, I'd love to talk a little bit about my work situation and what's happened there, because I think this could be really cool to share, like, because I know, you know, there's a lot of different material there on, like, love and money and, like, wealth and wealth consciousness and this and that, but the thing is that, you know, I feel like with my experience, I've learned what value means, you know, and what it means to kind of take your own path with career and stuff like that. So, so if you want, I can tell you a little bit about what's happened there.
Please do.
Okay. Well, so basically, like, even during the time of the Levolution, you know, I started working for this company called College Hunks Hauling Junk.
Uh-huh.
And it's
love it.
Yeah, it's basically like a junk removal, labor and moving services, and we also do, like, donation pickup type stuff and drop-off. So we basically, people have stuff, couches, appliances, desks, chairs, just stuff in their attic, stuff in their basement that they don't want anymore. And they call us. We come out, give them an estimate. You figure out how much space those items take up in our truck, and we have a price, you know, point, all that. But anyway, this company was started by these two guys in D.C., actually. And they basically, you know, had a cargo van, and they came up with this idea, and they put, you know, they put it on flyers and put it all around town. And then their phones just started ringing with, you know, regarding their service, College Junk Selling Junk. And basically the story goes that the phones just kept ringing. These two guys also had a vision to expand the franchise or the idea, if you will, into a franchise model across the country. And that's exactly what they did. So they've got this business now, you know, expanding across the country, you know, and now it's in over 33 markets. And it's, I started out here in Raleigh basically just hauling junk, because when I got out of college, I didn't really want to do the same old thing. I really actually wanted to learn about business. And I put out that intention, like, so hard. Like, I wrote out, like, a whole page about what my ideal job would be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I actually haven't been able to find that page, but I bet if I looked at it, the stuff that would be in there, I'd be like, whoa. Because right now, I'm actually, you know, I'm in my place. You know, I'm in Raleigh. I'm in a, you know, townhome. And this is my office. And, you know, and it's turned into an actual pretty amazing situation that fits in exactly with what my ideal job is. And, like, to a T, like there was even some crazy stuff that happened where essentially there was an owner in place of the business, and then they got out, and then someone else, or basically then it became a corporate model, or it became a corporate location, right? Mm-hmm. And myself and another guy were the main gunks, you know, were the main, like, guys on the job doing all the work and, you know, running the trucks. And
yeah,
we essentially got the opportunity to run it, you know, just basically keep it going, you know, because, like, the other owners were getting out of the business, but they wanted to keep it going in this market. So I said, yeah, sure, you know, we both did. And then that other guy actually ended up getting a promotion, and he actually now is in Tampa, Florida. So basically, and that guy, I had found, you know, I'd met him through another friend, you know, who was mentoring me around copywriting. You know, I was working on that skill. You know, creating content and stuff. So,
yeah.
So basically, that guy, you know, I had gotten him hired to, you know, by College Hunks, with when the other owners were there to, you know, haul junk. And so I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I kind of brought some people in, and by the value that we created in that situation, you know, he was able to rise up into a promotion situation, and now, you know, I'm essentially, you know, running the franchise here as, like, you know, I'm a general manager on paper, but, you know, I'm getting to act as if I'm the entrepreneur who did buy the franchise, you know? And to some degree, I kind of feel like, yeah, I did create this. Like, I built this for myself. And basically, like, I haven't had to take on any financial liability in terms of ownership. You know, I've been more of a, you know, get a piece of the action, if you will, you know, and just kind of grow it and help to grow it. And honestly, it's worked out, because I was really worried about working in the business world. I was like, how am I going to, you know, the word corporate just made me sick. I was like, hell no. But now, guess what? I am part corporate. I'm like half corporate, half like franchise operator, you know? And it's like crazy, because I never thought that was possible. I never thought that you could find like good people that actually cared, that actually created financial opportunity for other people. Like, you know, sometimes you might have people that care, love, 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 but then you have no financial opportunity. Or you have crazy awesome financial opportunity, and then you have no like real love. It's like everyone's selling their soul for like $100,000, $300,000 a year, right? But this is kind of like a good in-between. Like, people can kind of do their own thing, and, of course, there are rules, you know, but they're pretty, you know, they're pretty much, like, aimed at helping. They're aimed at, you know, like, supporting at building a, you know, a culture. And it's like, I have a culture here. Like, there's guys that work for me, and I, like, take care of the guys. I don't see it as, like, the typical pyramid hierarchy. I look at it more as, like, the concept I have in my mind is, like, birds flying in a flock, you know, like, everyone is flies at the front of a V at a certain point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's actually very important for people like us and anyone listening to, you know, be you know, take that step, because if you get to be that person who gets to interact with, you know, whether it's corporate or whether it's your own, you know, creation, like a sole proprietorship, or whether you're, like, kind of managing some teams, like, it's actually really great to be in a situation where I can, like, impact people's well-being. I can impact their financial health. Like, I'm always helping the guys to, basically make more money. And I always give them, like, I give them, you know, tips on, like, this is what, you know, this is kind of what corporate wants to see, and, you know, here's what they've set forth as, like, opportunities, so let's do this, and, you know, we'll generate this. And I get them to own that, and they basically do. And you know, I don't have to be, you know, that God above them, below them, whatever. I'm just like, hey, here's what we need to do, so let's do it. And then I can just be a chill guy that, you know, wants to just do a good job and have fun and be loving and all that good stuff, right? So
yeah. Well, it sounds,
you
know, like a new vision of corporate, of a, you know, a new vision for corporations in America.
Right. Now,
cool.
I have to say, that's, I know all that sounded really positive, but there's also maybe like a little bit of a dark side to it. Now, the dark side to it is this. You have to battle yourself hardcore. You have to basically get over every possible, like, emotion, like fear, doubt, somebody making a mistake, you know, and, you know, the reaction or, you know, I mean, really, when you really get into, like, the nature of business, you know, like, especially with us, we're in a service business where we're interacting with people's homes and items, you know, you really can catch, like, some crazy stuff from customers. And to be honest, like, I haven't necessarily done the best job with it, which is why it's like basically putting yourself in this crazy, like, therapeutic, like, journey of, like, the mind. And it like, teaches you to really master yourself because, you know, when you have an angry customer that's being completely unreasonable and you've made every effort to help them and provide a solution, and then they even go as far to, like, defame you on a public domain where, you know, where other people can see it, you know? And that's actually happened to me. I had a customer that essentially, like, said that, you know, we didn't really help provide a solution, management was inept, blah, blah, blah. And thing is that, you know, that's really not what happened. And, you know, we're allowed to write a public response. And, you know, to be honest, I went in there and wrote, you know, sir, this is what happened, and here's what I told you, and here's what I was expecting from you. And then that didn't happen, and instead of you getting back in touch with me, you just wrote this. So I don't really agree with what you're saying because this is what happened. And, you know, a lot of the time businesses, like, everyone's afraid, like, oh, you know, don't talk back or whatever. But that's wrong because, you know, I have to support what's true. And so what I'm saying is, like, you know, you kind of have to stand your own ground and you have to draw your own lines. And if corporate says something to you in a way where you don't like it, you have every right to blast them right back, you know. And if you're adding enough value to the situation, then you're so valuable that you mold them to you. They don't mold you to them. You're molding them to you. And, I mean, yeah, they have the rules, but the fact of the matter is if you add enough value to a situation, they're not going to bother you, you know? I kind of think about why is it that all these people doing all these high-level things can misbehave and do all these, you know, effed-up things and somehow still be, it's fine, right? And the answer is because the people that they operate with, you know, it's like they're adding so much value to the situation that they can basically get away with anything practically, and it's fine. And I'm not saying that's a good model of it, but that's exactly what's happening up in these high circles, you know? People are just, you know, like, doing all these things that, you know, they're just able to get away with it. So the thing is now we can channel that in a more positive way, you know what I mean? Where it's more like, you know, just, I don't know, just a different side of it, I guess, you know? And when you use it to support yourself, you know, that means that you're now no longer vulnerable. You can't be taken advantage of. And, I mean, I'm not saying hold that space like I'm going to be taken advantage of, but you do kind of have to watch yourself, you know? It's kind of like we don't want to be, you know, weak, vulnerable. We want to be open, confident. You know what I'm saying? Like, knowing my ground, knowing that. And that's huge, you know? That's huge with going into and business in general, you know? Like, honestly, I was a bit naive at first, you know? I always assumed everyone was going to be really nice and everyone, you know, it sounds kind of stupid, but, you know, I assumed, you know, people were reasonable people trying to do, you know, the right thing, but a lot of the time, you know, that might not be the case, you know, because it's like they're trying to get you money and they're trying to sell you something. So it's kind of like a crazy balance, you know, because it's like you're trying to make the right decisions and make the right choices, and how do you actually do that? Now, here's another part to kind of bring it back together, because I was saying, you know, some good things, some, like, sounding not so good things. In the end, no matter what has happened and all those things I've described, I feel like using the universe is, like, this super competitive edge, this, like, super weapon that most other people in business just don't have. I think a lot of them maybe do, but also, a lot of them also don't, because The thing is, and I think they, I don't know, like I think they just get too caught up in like the money, like consumption factor. Like there's sort of this like exponential, like almost think of like a runaway train or something. You know, it's like you create this enterprise and it becomes kind of like raw and it just goes and like it's almost like there's no stopping it. You know, so that's why I kind of like to see, you know, a more, I guess, loving approach to business where it's kind of like the approach to money is balanced with a healthy growth side, you know, because I just see like an enterprise, you know, it kind of turns into a machine, you know, and I think, you know, it can kind of get out of a lot of control, but you just have to understand it, really, and how to talk to it, I think, you know.
Yeah, lately I've been practicing Ho'oponopono. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
And I think that would really help with what you're describing because, it brings it all into the fact that there's no separation between us and them. And whenever something comes up that is disturbing, it's something that the only way to resolve it is to clean it from within your inner sanctuary, as I call it. And that's what Ho'oponopono is, and it has to do with there's nothing out there. It's all in here. And when we get clear, everything else clears up too. You know, it's the old Course in Miracles idea where everything is a projection. Everything negative, everything positive is a projection. And so once you've projected it, you think it's outside. You think it's somebody else's problem. But anything you see as a dissension between people or actually I heard a testimonial for Ho'oponopono where something like that happened where you just described where somebody came out publicly outed you and practiced so the person practiced Ho'oponopono like for a day or two, and the person came back and apologized. So the person didn't even go out and make a defense. So I just thought that was an interesting other way of dealing with it, that maybe in the end we really don't have to do things the old way anymore. We just inwardly pray and clean and make and get ourselves clear, really making a kind of a divining rod with the for communication with our higher power, really, and hone that communication, and that's the only thing that we're here for, is to be able to strengthen our relationship with God, Goddess, the Universal Spirit, the Great Spirit, or whatever, you know, and that's what Ho'oponopono is to get clear and clean the slate. And to just be this vessel for love, really, love and forgiveness.
Definitely.
So it's a whole different way of looking at it, and it's a whole different way of going through life, and it's a constant practice, really.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you say that because I was going to tie that back together with exactly that in the end, I actually release most of, you know, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. Because there's a lot of, you know, rhetoric, you know, coming from all these different angles of like, you know, we're supposed to be doing this, we're supposed to be doing that. But then if you realize, well, look, I'm going to put this intention out for this result, and then I'm going to let it be taken care of. And I've realized that's kind of a sweet way to do it, because then you can work more from an intention standpoint and don't have to get too caught up in the trenches, you know? And
yeah,
I mean, I think that's something I'm really working on now. I feel like I'm kind of getting to the next level, which is how to actually, you know, how to actually, I guess, like, really get that together, you know?
Yeah.
So, and just kind of make it regular, you know? So.
So do you, just thinking about you haul junk, right? You are so-called I love the title of your business, but I think that people might think, get classist on you. They might think that they're better than you are because you're hauling trash or junk or whatever. And that would be a perfect opportunity to clean on that, you know, to get clear on that.
Or sometimes there's a little bit of like resistance to like the college hunks, especially from guys. If guys aren't feeling confident about themselves, they kind of like they act as if it was threatening to them, and they kind of have a little bit of like a slightly negative, you know, reaction to it. I mean, it's usually not a huge big deal, but you know, it might be like, oh, you guys are college hunks, meh. So it is something we can just laugh about, you know. But yeah, definitely, you're right, absolutely. And I mean, I would say, really, it was that customer that I was telling you about. You know, that's where I think I need to aim that first and foremost. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like a good combination of like saying what you need to say and making sure that that's good and covered, and then also like cleaning it out as well. You know, because I think, you know, there's a couple different pieces. You know, you want to definitely communicate your thoughts and feelings. Because sometimes I feel like the Ho'oponopono actually makes me feel like communicating something more. It's almost like by cleaning it, I'm like, wow, I need to actually say this. And, you know, it's not necessarily going to lead you to, like, just being quiet and everything's fine. It might actually kind of make you feel like doing something. And then you kind of have to do that. And then I feel like the Ho'oponopono thing, like, kind of sets these stuff in motion. And you just have to do it enough to where it's in motion. Kind of like the get it over that top, and then once it'll just kind of go down automatically, you know, over that hill, and then phew, like a roller coaster or something.
Yeah, it propels you into the state of inspiration, so that something comes up where you know you have to do something, you're not really sure what or why you are supposed to do it, and then you do it because it comes from this this state where the Ho'oponopono, in that state of clearing, made you go the next step with an inspiration that who knows where it takes you. It could really be it's usually very exciting. We actually have somebody else here on the line, a 901 area code. Let me just bring them on and see if they had a question or something. Just a minute. Hello there. This is Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. And this is 901 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, who is this? Carol.
Hi, this is Lanice. I'm listening.
Good. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good. How about yourself?
Wonderful. And this is Aaron. He's with us tonight.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Nice to hear from you.
Good. Interesting topic you have going.
We went around. Definitely some crazy topics.
Is it unconditional love?
Yes. Yeah, that's part of it. It's part of what we all need to live in this world, I think.
I mean, yeah. It's the thread that I think ties it back together. So.
I would love to master that. I'm working on it, but it's something that you really have to work on and be conscious and aware of in your interaction.
You know, what exactly, you know, when you say, you know, you want to master it, you know, what do you feel like you haven't mastered? Exactly.
Well, because I know I have some conditions. But She went out there. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm at work. I had to answer a quick question. But I don't feel that I've mastered it, but I would love to get to that level of evolution.
Well, you know, I would think of it not as you have to master anything, as more, you know, you're kind of mastering maybe parts of yourself, or maybe it's like what I was describing with the business stuff, you know, like, you know, sometimes like if the guys, you know, flip out or, like, do something wrong, you know, and I might, you know, get really mad about it. But the thing is, like, one time I got mad about a voicemail that one of the guys left me, but I didn't fully understand what he was saying, and I kind of reacted to it, and I realized, oh, my God, like, whoa, that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that I find that, you know, in a situation like that, you know, I stopped and I said, look, you know, I misperceived what you said, and, you know, I just, you know, kind of reacted, but, you know, I, yeah, I just, you know, I didn't know what you meant, but now that I know, like, I understand what you're saying, and, you know, I'm sorry for the outburst, you know? And usually they're like, oh, okay, no problem. And that's why I feel like, you know, mastering it is not necessarily being perfect in every situation, but perhaps mastering it is, you know, being willing to kind of keep the conversation going in a loving way and being, you know, because part of it is self-love, you know, being confident enough to face people that maybe you, you know, like, said something to, and it can be kind of scary at times. So I think part of that unconditional love is, you know, giving yourself what you need, you know, which is, like, for me, you know, I've had a lot of different, you know, experiences with business, like being afraid to, like, go present to a group of people or, you know, something like that. But what I've started to realize is that that fear is completely unfounded, because when I go through that fear, like, I go and do the presentation or I go and meet the people, you know, it's like at times I was almost, like, intimidated, you know, by certain people. But then I realized, wait a second, like, these are just regular people. And they were actually, like, really nice, like, normal. And I was like, oh, like, I felt more like, oh, this is normal. So I guess I'm not sure what your exact situation is, but, you know, I'm sure however you're handling it is a great start, if not, you know, a great way to do it. And like I said, I mean, I feel like as long as you're staying true to yourself and, you know, you genuinely try to fix things, you know, if you mess up. But, I mean, if you're doing that and just doing your best, I don't really think you have anything to master, because I think a lot of that stuff is, it kind of, like, emerges over time, you know. And I'm not saying don't do the daily stuff, because I think the daily stuff is awesome, but I would say more don't do the pressure on yourself, because it's really just a game, if you will.
Right, exactly. I guess practitioner for master, because master is when you arrive, and I guess as long as we're on planet Earth, we'll be practicing and never really quite perfecting it.
Well, yeah.
Well, that brings us back to that evolution game, Aaron, that you are working on, because Aaron is working on a game called the Levolution game, which is associated with his site love-evolution.com, and it has to do with practicing love in situations, and when you do that, you gain points. And I think that's just a really fun way to practice living in a state of love, unconditional love. That's really, I think you just have to do this game.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, I think we lost Aaron. He'll probably call back. The game has to do with practicing on different levels. He had said, say, practicing different languages, practicing learning a language and speaking the language with the person who is, you know, has that language as their native tongue. And that would be one exercise you could do to strengthen bonds with people. And then he said learning to cook different cultural foods and probably going to different going to different churches, and just learning about other people and what it is that they, who they are, and listening to them as opposed to putting in points, you know, points of my point of view all the time is not necessarily the point of view that is important. So learning to listen, active listening, and from the heart, and these sorts of skills, that love skills, as it were, that if the more we practice, the more we are become like a lightning rod for love in this world.
Yeah.
And you are back, Aaron?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry. Yes,
cool. That's no problem.
And what was your name again?
Lenise.
Okay. Well, so again, you know, like, back to, you know, what you were talking about, where do you feel, I had a comment, and then I have a question. The comment was, like, you know, you were saying how it's kind of like a work in progress, you know, like an ongoing practice. And part of that is, like, if you're familiar with Zen, you know, they talk about the yin and yang, and I actually have a set of Osho Zen tarot cards, and I like to pull a card a day sometimes, maybe a couple times a day, depending on if I have a lot of questions. a lot of cool stuff comes out of that. And one of the things mm-hmm. was about the yin and yang, and it was talking about how, you know, is it really possible to achieve happiness? Because it's like as soon as you feel happy, it's almost like the reason you can feel happy is because there's the opportunity to feel not happy. So there's that dichotomy, there's that polarity. So, you know, to some degree, unconditional love or unconditional perspective is kind of transcending the happy and the not so happy, you know what I mean? So it's not so much are people meeting our expectations, it's are we satisfied with what's in front of us no matter what. And I'm not saying put up with a bad situation, but it's more from an internal standpoint, you know, are you creating a, you know, that feeling state or that perspective where that's your philosophy, I guess, if you will, you know, around approaching mm-hmm. people, situations. And, you know, I would say that's where, that's a difficult jump, at least from my experience, because a lot of stuff is just not very satisfying, and I'm not satisfied with a lot of what's in front of me. Yet, as I make efforts to improve the world and improve, you know, my own, you know, world, and situation, house, and et cetera, I also realize that I have to kind of transcend it at the moment as well. So I guess what I'm saying is use the good to feel good, use the bad to get motivated to make more good, I guess. Because I don't particularly like bad, but I'll tell you what, when bad happens, I get so motivated. So, I mean, a drop is cool since I'll take a lot of action on it, but I do make an effort to try and avoid that. But I do understand that the nature of yin and yang, that's kind of the nature of the system we're in, you know, in reality. And so I try to really, I really just try to see both sides, you know, at this point. And I think mm-hmm. that gives mm-hmm. a lot of clarity, you know, and you can kind of take the pressure off yourself of, am I doing this right? You know, that's a very mind, you know, analyzing kind of thing. And I've been trying to work more with heart, you know, and broadcasting that out more, you know, and our mind really will get in the way. It'll try to think things through, break everything down, cut, chop everything up, you know, and that's fine, you know, but I think you have to put that in the right perspective, in the right, you know, place. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, I think it's, you know, it might be good to work from the heart rather than the mind, you know, because the heart can just sort of feel into things. And I've actually found that there's a lot of intuition and you just create so much good when you work from the heart, you know, like broadcast that onto people by speaking nicely to them or pointing out something they do that is good or positive. Like, it's actually kind of crazy. It's almost like you're powering someone up. Like, if you say good things to them, you're powering them up into a really good person. If you say not so good things, you're powering them up into, like, a not so happy, fun person. You know what I mean? Because there was a quote I saw the other day, which was, language is civilization, or, yeah, was it language? Language or speech is civilization itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take
That's why it's so powerful to learn another language.
Yeah, absolutely. You're activating another, like, culture, essentially.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
well,
with
what
that
do you
said,
think?
I mean, huh?
The whole thing about love, going from a love space, is really the right brain. We're activating the right brain when we talk about living in a love space. And
right.
The linear mind is the, you know, rational, scientific breakdown, and needing to know why, backing everything up with science, which of course the world needs and wants, and I'll give into it to a certain extent. You know, I understand that because I'm a nurse, and I understand
sure.
how everything has to be backed up like that. But I, you know,
yeah.
as time goes on, I'll probably let that go. That's just not important
right.
to me at all. Yeah.
No, definitely. Like, I'm really glad you brought up science because I got a couple points about that. But I wanted to ask, you know, a guest if she had any other, you know, questions or anything.
No, I'm listening and learning. There was a comment that you made. Oh, I forgot what it was, but you really said some things that hit home and that I resonate with. And
Please chime in if you know.
Oh, I know
anything,
what it was. It was about.
Uh-huh.
I know what it was that I had a question about.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been thinking about it and reading about it and trying to incorporate it into my state of being, and that is coming from the heart as opposed to coming from the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? You know, because I was asking myself, well, how do I know when I'm coming from my heart and when I'm coming from my mind?
Well,
I know I think
this.
I could go normally.
Where do you normally sit and do your work? Or, you know, I guess you said you were at work. So are you at a desk, or is that where you spend a lot of your time?
Well, I'm sitting in a chair now, but
okay.
And then
at home, do you have a place where you spend like a lot of time, or at home, are you more kind of like free flowing, you know, doing a lot of different things?
Free flowing, but I know I need a writing, studying place. That came up yesterday. I live in a small apartment, and I was thinking about just sitting up my little card table, and it'll be in an awkward position, but I really need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I was thinking about that on yesterday. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that'll really, like, you know, you're creating the space that will create, you know, a place for you to, like, do more activity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. All right, well, here's what I'm thinking about. The reason I was asking you those questions was, right now, you know, I work from my home, and I spend so much time sitting at this desk and this chair that's in my house. And I could walk around anywhere. I could go chill in my room. I could sit in the living room, the couch. I could just go out, you know, go for a walk or drive. But basically what I'm saying is that me sitting at that desk represents me being in my mind. And what I mean by that is metaphorically and literally. So when you're from your mind, you're just sitting at that desk, and you're just, like, thinking, and you're, like, typing stuff, and you're just kind of like in this thinking, like, process zone. But I feel like that love working from the heart is more like, wait, stop, turn off this computer, what do I want to do right now, you know? And then you stop, and, you know, you kind of stop the mind from thinking, because the mind would just drive you back to the computer, like, what's the next email, oh my god, what is this call, what's that call, what does corporate want, blah blah blah. Yeah, that's my mind. At least my mind goes like a 6 billion miles an hour, and it's very it can be very tough to just get off that track, right? Because it's just flying, flying, flying. Mm-hmm. So then I say, stop, wait, stop, no, stop it. And then what do I want? And then I might want to go, like, hang out outside or something. So, you know, my work is relatively flexible. As long as, like, vital things are taken care of, you know, I can kind of, you know, like, divide my time up how it's supposed to be, as long as I'm getting the proper activities done, you know, each day or whatever's critical for the day, and then in the long run, whatever's needed for the week. So I'm like, all right, well, let me go for a walk, or, you know, I really feel like eating a good breakfast out today, like not even making it, like going out and having it presented to me and just eating it. And I've done that several times, and it's like my mind would want me to sit at that computer and work on stuff, but my heart was like, nah, dude, go eat an awesome breakfast. It's going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and it was amazing, and I just felt so good the rest of the day. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's that pause, question, and then do it. Like, set up that table, like, make that creative space for yourself, and then there's probably going to be even more, like, you know, stuff that you can add on. And I need to actually do that exact same thing, is have a creative space where I want to work on more media stuff. Like, I've got some different content books and such that I'm working on, and yeah, so I highly recommend that. I mean, and I should take that own that advice as well.
Okay. Yeah, we need to create our own space. I think that's a wonderful idea. Where miracles can just be flow. You know, you can create miracles in that space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The miracle thing, you know, it's kind of dramatized into, like, Jesus turning water into wine or whatever, but, you know, maybe a miracle is like, you know, a miracle can almost get right past you, is what I'm trying to say, you know, because miracles are walking around, like, on a daily basis, you know, like, doing stuff, like, walking around. Like, you think of a kid that's, like, a child prodigy, like, well, he's a miracle. He's just sitting there walking around, you know, being a kid, you know, eating some cereal. Like, oh, when he plays the piano, it's amazing. It's like, whoa. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. The miracles are within everyone. I mean, they're not always activated, like, all the time. But I kind of look at it as, like, an ongoing miracle, you know, rather than one moment of, like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah,
although that does
a miracle.
Happen. Yeah.
What is the Einstein quote, you can look at everything as a miracle or nothing is a miracle. It's our choice.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? We've run we are out now at the end of the show. And that was a very fast hour. And we appreciate your calling in. Thank you. And Aaron, thank you for sharing yourself tonight. And it's one way that we can get to know each other as Love Volution contributors, but like we said in the beginning of the show, I want to get over there and meet other people and comment on the stuff that they're writing every day.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I'm going to play the music for Mother and Child. Thank you all. And
have
a wonderful evening. Yes, have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for having us.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love to you.
Love to you too.